Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. It's being called a revolution for the automobile industry, the biggest thing to happen to cars since Henry Ford. They're sometimes called self-driving cars, sometimes autonomous vehicles, sometimes even driverless cars, but no matter what you call it, it's a growing effort to radically reimagine the cars and trucks that have populated the American landscape for the last century. Titans of the tech world like Google, Tesla, Uber, and even Apple are putting millions into the cars, cameras, networks, and software that they hope will one day let our vehicles drive themselves. As the technology for self-driving cars improves, Florida lawmakers, transportation officials, and businesses are positioning the state as one of the leading test beds for driverless cars, from local preparations in Lee County to a multi-million dollar test bed in Tampa. Here to help us talk about the present and future of driverless cars and how it's already shaping Florida's policies is Fort Myers News Press reporter Bill Smith. His recent piece in the News Press entitled "Leave the Driving to Them" looks at the issue from laws to technology, ranging from Lee County to Tallahassee. Bill, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here.
And if someone wants to, we are talking about autonomous vehicles and how the technology of self-driving cars could change the way we live and drive. Would you be comfortable riding a car that drives itself? How much would you pay for some of these autonomous features? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Bill Smith, your piece about the driverless car revolution covers a lot, but let's start with some basic terms. Is there a difference between driverless, autonomous, and self-driving car?
There are differences in what the cars can be engineered to do. Driverless cars is not a term of art that's used by the professionals in the field. They usually prefer autonomous cars, where you let the driving happen, and that happens because the car has been programmed and it's been set up in order to take people places and get them to destinations that are punched in. Some of the other references are there is less autonomy in some of the other cars. There are assisted types of driving for cars that allow that certain systems can be turned over. And so there's almost a continuum. In fact, there really is a continuum between the basic car that doesn't do anything for you to the next step, which would be things such as cruise control and maybe a little bit of line centering after that, up to one where you don't need a steering wheel or you don't need any pedals because that car is going to take you where you're going by itself. That one further in the future, of course.
Wow. I remember being kind of weirded out by ABS systems where when you start skidding, it'll start doing that brake locking. Is that one of those autonomous features?
Not really, because the driver has to hit the pedal.
Oh, okay.
In order for the car to stop. In the world of autonomous vehicles, it would be the car sensing that something is in the way and taking either evasive action in some cases, which is zipping around it, which people do an awful lot on their own here, or simply stopping the vehicle, braking, decelerating, and maintaining a safe distance between the object that you're about to hit and your front bumper.
Oh. So where is the technology right now?
It's all over the place. I mean, there are a lot of individual car makers. Tesla is one that is most often heard of as far as being associated with driving an autonomous car, a car with nobody that would be helping it. They're working to move their process forward. By 2021 or so, I believe it's Ford that's going to come out with one that is autonomous but still has the wheel and the pedals in case the driver wants to take control of it, not fully automated to where you just get in this little unit and it takes you somewhere. And other manufacturers are doing other steps along the way to add things to their cars. Already you have things like cars that will parallel park for you, and you have warnings when you're getting too close to something and blind spot cameras. So it's evolving anyway, but there's a big leap to be made from the point where a motorist has to do something or has to be alert enough to do something and the point where the car takes over and only gets to the motorist when it's an emergency. And then a little bit further, it will warn the motorist that maybe he might want to take some kind of action.
Get back in your lane.
Get back in your lanes.
Mine's already
like
telling me that.
That's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like, you know, I know where I'm going. Okay, Honda. So is there kind of like a scale of 1 to 5 to measure how autonomous they are? Is that kind of what you're referring to?
Yeah. The Society of Automotive Engineers came up with one It's six steps. It starts with the big zero, which is your father's Dodge. And it goes all the way up to step five in increments. But each one adds another level of assistance or another level of taking over entirely as you get to the upper ends of the scale. And that has been adopted by the Federal Highway Traffic Safety Administration as the federal government standard. They used to have their own, and they decided they liked what the engineers did better.
Oh, well, that's unusual. So they have already a federal ranking of different levels of autonomy and things.
Sure.
And they have the car from Ford where you were mentioning they're going to keep everything where you could still drive it like your dad's Dodge, but you can also have the option of turning it on. And I do you think that that psychology of control has come into play here at all?
The psychology of it is kind of an interesting thing that we didn't get into as much in that piece. But if you have an incident of road rage – When you're driving, or you're one of those people who might be prone to road rage, why don't we put it that way?
I don't know anybody who does that in Southwest Florida.
No, it never happens anywhere, right? So I can see the situation where if you have both, your car is driving along safely and it's slowing down for the guy next to you, and it's not cutting off the guy in the next lane, and the brain in your head says, "Wait a minute, turn this off," and starts to say, "I can zip, zip, zip and get past four or five other people." So it's kind of interesting that we're going to be in a situation where people are going to have to change a little bit as well along with the technology.
Yeah, it's kind of like retraining them of how to drive appropriately and not try to thread that needle. So have you been in a driverless car yet?
I have not.
No?
I have not. One of our reporters was involved in one that they were testing over at Babcock Ranch, which is in northern Lee County, mm-hmm. and on the Charlotte Line, where they're trying to adopt driverless cars as part of their overall experience there. So they were testing some day, and they were out taking a little ride in that. But I haven't gotten in one yet. I don't think the technology has caught up to where my fear factor ends.
So your fear factor is there. Well, a recent national survey found that people are increasingly comfortable in a driverless car. Nearly 60% say that they want some of those features at least. But as many as 75% say that they're still not really comfortable with a fully self-driving car. And I think relinquishing that control is going to be a tough one.
There also have been some studies done on the human factors that are involved when people are in driverless cars, even at lower levels. And people – they show that people are becoming more comfortable with it, but there are still – when they actually test what they do on the track, they're still doing a few things that are evidence a bit of fear or evidence some kind of uncomfortable nature with the way that the driverless cars are operating. So I think there's a bit of getting used to it. And I don't know if most people would want to be the first on their block with a car that drives itself.
Yeah, and it just kind of – I don't know. It just makes you think of all these old sci-fi kind of like, you know, fantastical ideas of, you know, I don't want to say Jetsons necessarily, but definitely Wall-E, you know, where nobody really
– Yeah, it would be easier if you can trust the other guy as being in an autonomous car.
And that's what I'm saying. If I'm in an autonomous car and it's driving along being peaceful and wonderful and there's Mr. Hot Rod next to me and he just – I can't – I would feel scared that I couldn't do the evasive action even though the car is programmed to do it.
Yeah. You're in your self-driving Tesla and there's the guy in the Cutlass Supreme who wants to floor it.
Yeah. And I think that would be what are some of the big arguments for having self-driving cars? Why do people feel that they want to do this?
There's a feeling that it will help traffic management in a lot of ways by being able to – there'll be communication between cars and signals and roads, and that's something that's developing at the same time. In fact, roads in Lee County are going to have some connectivity as part of the design process they're going through as they build out roads into 2030, 2040 in the future years. So there will be some connectivity between the cars and the rest of the roads and the rest of the things that are near the road. So that is going to be an important first step toward that.
So it's kind of like taking what they need from what mass transit's been trying to do is making things safer and getting people where they need to go, where they don't have to – they can read a book on the way or whatever. So it's kind of that, but then still keeping them in their own car, which was always the argument that people would use against that.
Your own car and also your own schedule, which is important when it comes to public transportation as anything. So yeah, people are kind of waiting for that.
Yeah. So tell me about the Tampa-Hillsborough Expressway Authority. They're using more than $17 million to test a connected roadway and vehicles. What's that about?
They have an expressway, the Solomon Expressway, which has an extension that basically runs into the downtown Tampa area. And they have gotten, like you said, $17 million in federal money, and they're equipping it to work with driverless cars so that they can be tested there. In Florida, driverless car testing is a wide open field because you don't need a lot to enter the testing realm here. You have to get a $5 million insurance bond, and you have to have your title stamped autonomous, and that's it. And other than that, the state is basically letting testing go on its own. So that expressway will be an opportunity to connect the driverless car with some of the other elements in the transportation system, such as trying to coordinate it with the arrivals of commuter rail trains and streetcars and public transportation modalities, and also the communication with the roadway itself and with other drivers. So that's going to be set up for a really an intermodal kind of operation that will test it and allow testing of those cars in various scenarios and various environments.
So what's the term I'm hearing is test bed, and that's coming up. What does test bed mean?
I think it means road.
Just road.
I think it means well.
It sounds cushiony and softer than hitting a road.
Sure. Well, there's also one that the State Turnpike is putting together out in Lakeland, and that's being used to test for tolls because they're finally making that toll road autonomous rather than have a stop every 50 yards or so mm-hmm. it seems. So when they start testing those types of things, they can use this track to also test autonomous cars and then the toll taking machinery may be of some help in timing things or whatever. But that is going to be a situation where they're going to be able to test it in a closed track environment, but also with a system that's been set up electronically so you can do what you need to do. And Florida Polytechnic is going to be very much involved with that. So there'll be some research on the academic level that will go on as well.
What made Florida the place for this? Is it because we don't have to remove the snow first, or?
That's number one. Number two is the roads are flat and they're at right angles to each other. So you get somewhat less of a challenge than you might in some town in New England that was laid out by a cow, for example, and it meanders here and there. And it doesn't go straight because, Farmer Jones was bigger than Farmer Brown. So it took a left around his pasture rather than go through it. So you have an environment that's good for it, and you can do it year-round, which is probably important. But at some point, they've got to go test these things where it snows.
Yeah. And then you said something about that the car has to communicate with the road. What does that mean?
Lanes, things like that. I mean, it's going to be GPS. The first question that I asked when I was talking to the people that are responsible for building the roads, I said, does this mean you're going to have some kind of special stuff in the stripes and
things
like that?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
No, it's the GPS systems are going to do it. There will be zones around cars and zones around objects, and that's where they'll communicate to each other. Your car will be told by the car behind it that it's going at 47 miles an hour. You're going at 43, so it's probably not a good idea to switch lanes, and it will realize that. So it's going to be kind of electronic notice from one aspect of the road to another about exactly what's going on so that the decisions can be made and as you get into the more autonomous types of vehicles.
Because of the GPS tracking ability.
Yes. It's known where that car is all the time, and that car knows where the other things are. They've gotten so far in the Tampa experiment, they're going to be taking volunteers to be equipped with a cell phone app that will tell you when it's okay to cross the street, when it's not, and when a car is coming, so that that'll be a boon to everybody that walks the streets, texting as they go along.
They'll look up now.
Look up now, get out of the way, or you're going to get hit. And that's an extension of the car technology to something that people can use on a probably a more practical basis.
Well, what kind of concerns me about that is last time I was in downtown San Francisco, you got around some skyscrapers, and my GPS couldn't find me with my phone. So that makes me as just a consumer wonder how accurate that GPS can be.
I would think that the infrastructure would have to be improved, but it's still based on stuff in the space. So in space, so it's that's what one of the aspects that they're looking at making part of this, which is making sure that new roads are equipped with the things that would allow those GPS units to work everywhere on the road, because if they stop, you're in trouble, especially if you're in a car with no brake, no steering wheel, and no pedals.
Exactly. But then they would also probably have to expedite the lag time between Earth to satellite. I think it's, 3 seconds?
Something like that. I mean, these are all for the engineers.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, well, I mean, I know that it takes 3 seconds for a satellite thing because I've done a live shot with one and it takes a little while to hear somebody.
You're talking yourself out of it, aren't you?
I know I am. I really am. But it's just because I really like driving. I really do. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, people kind of like driving.
Yes. And somebody getting their license for the first time. I mean, the first time you drove in a car, yeah, part of it was the freedom, but part of it also was getting up on 128 and opening it up to 85 miles an hour.
Not that I've ever done that.
No, never.
No, I've never done that. So when you talk to people who are developing this technology, what are some of the hurdles that they're still needing to overcome? They're needing to get the infrastructure in place with the streets, for sure. And then with the cars themselves, do they have them up and running?
There are cars that are being tested on limited types of bases, but overall it's a question of getting to the point where you can trust putting those on the road. I mean, that is where the proof is going to be to make it market acceptable, and that obviously is going to be the ultimate driver of whether or not these things can happen. At this point, one of the automakers that's most heavily invested in it is Tesla, and those are expensive cars. So they're not going to roll something out to damage the brand until they're sure that those kind of vehicles are working in this kind of driverless environment.
Yeah, but I don't think a whole lot of people are going to be able to afford that either. So, you know, they're going to bring those prices down. And I wanted to ask also at the state level, how are lawmakers in Tallahassee handling this issue and what's come up in front of them?
They passed a bill last year which makes it easier for testing here. You have the $5 million bond and the stamping of the title as really the only requirements. And they've basically taken an approach where they've wiped out a lot of the manufacturer's liability in case of an accident. The original equipment or the original car manufacturer's liability. So they've made some restrictions that might make people a little bit nervous about what could happen on the roads. The manufacturers and the companies a little bit nervous about what might happen on the road. So they've kind of made it easier for a company to come in here and to do some testing. And in other states, if somebody is testing wireless cars or driverless cars and they're getting into a few wrecks here and there, and the state says, get out of here. Florida doesn't have any kind of initial hurdle that you must clear. You don't have to say, yes, we've proven this is safe. You go and test it, and then if enforcement happens, enforcement happens. But it makes it easier for entry here, and it makes it easier to continue your testing program.
So we have the good weather, the flat roads, the easy layout, and a legislature that's made it pretty easy and incentivized it to come here and do this testing.
And there are also independent units that are interested in testing it out, such as the Turnpike Authority and on the Solomon Expressway up in Tampa.
And then the other thing about Florida is we have natural disasters that happen here called hurricanes every once in a while. Are those going to have an impact on some of these types of electronic devices that might impede that kind of development?
It would seem that they would, and especially when you have a situation where you're having an evacuation and the roads are jammed with people trying to get away and you're having things that are suddenly falling. So that is something that I think people in Florida will have to be convinced is working correctly before they start lining up to buy a wireless vehicle or a driverless vehicle.
Yeah. Well, the Lee County Metropolitan Planning Organization cites roughly 90% of crashes are due to driver error. Are we anticipating that the cars will not – self-driving cars will not make those errors?
They are anticipating so many reductions in accidents that will be caused by the driverless cars that they're even projecting that your insurance rates will go down and go down dramatically. By 2040, they anticipate there could be an 80% reduction in insurance rates because there aren't as many claims.
As a big fan of driving, I'm wondering if they've done a projection on the amount of extra time you're sitting in your car because you're driving safely.
You know, there was one gentleman who works with the Metropolitan Planning Organization speculated that it could be that you took your driverless car to work. You get out and rather than just parking in the garage, you send the car home and it takes your kid to school. That may be on the way.
Well, and there's another thing, too, about downtown congestion. If you have a car that can go park itself in a remote parking lot, it can drop you off at work.
Sure.
And then take off and park itself.
Sure. And you don't have to be parked within walking distance of where your place of employment is.
Parking within walking distance is a big deal in Southwest Florida.
Absolutely.
People do love that. And a door-to-door drop-off would be great for a lot of people. Are the cities or like Fort Myers or Lee County, are they doing any kind of planning in anticipation of this?
Lee County is actually including that as a consideration in the design work that they're doing on roads. So they are very definitely keeping close eyes on what – needs to be done and what would be a part of it, and that the major roads where these sorts of things will be that are going to be built and don't have to be retrofit will be the first stop for that, the new roads that are being built.
And where are new roads being built right now? Going inland?
Yeah, there are a number of roads, extensions of roads. Over in Alico, there's going to be extensions in progress. Three Oaks. There are a number of roads that are going to be seeing some changes made. State Road 82 is going to be rebuilt. That'll be a consideration. With the state is behind that project, but that'll be a consideration as well, where they also are going to have new fancy intersections that they've never used in Florida before.
Wow, that'll be kind of interesting to watch happen. That'll probably unfold in the next, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, so actually it's starting now. They're doing it in segments. So they're going to be starting on the first leg of the new State Road 82 sometime in the very near future. And that's going to be over a few years. But that's probably the first really significant road that's going to be rebuilt in this new era that we seem to be entering.
Yeah, so they're going to be making that with their eye to the future of a possible driverless car.
It's being encouraged. If you have federal dollars involved, there's kind of like a little, hey, you got to do this too to keep on getting your funding.
You want your federal dollar, let's think about the future and not keep doing it the way we always did.
As with everything that's federally funded, there's usually a little string in there somewhere.
Yeah, but then are there going to be federal dollars that are going to be able to come through for retrofitting old roads? Because there are a lot of old roads out there.
That's a big question. I mean, it's enough to get money, and it's hard enough to get money to have roads rebuilt when they need to be rebuilt or have them widened when they need to be widened. So when you're talking about just taking a road that doesn't need that kind of work and putting new gizmos in it, funding for that is something that I think is going to be something of an issue.
That might end up getting debated. All right, well, we're going to have to leave it there for today, but I want to thank our guest, Bill Smith, from Fort Myers News Press. What an interesting article. You can find a link to his piece on self-driving cars and how they're being worked on here in Florida on our website at wgcunews.org/Gulf Coast Live, so you can check out the full article there. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO, Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.